Welcome, everybody. Welcome and let's talk about it. Hi, it's your girl Kat, and this is the very last show of 2015. So we're going to talk about 2015, the year in review. I wish I had some really cool music for you right now, but I don't, so we'll just wing it. Good evening. Can you believe that 2016 is just days away? That is just mind-blowing to me. I don't know if I'm ready. Actually, yeah, I'm ready. So let's talk about what a difference a year makes. When I look at where I am right now as opposed to where I was this time last year, man, talk about a major difference. My life is totally and completely different from what it was this time last year. You know, this time last year, I was working in corporate America, a very stress-filled job, very high pressure. I think I stressed more than I relaxed. As a matter of fact, I know I did because I don't know what it meant to relax. I have no clue what that was, what that felt like. Adding to that, the pressure of December 1st of last year, I took a tumble down some stairs and tore my MCL. So this time last year, I was in a whole lot of pain, not walking very well, swollen knee, swollen foot, everything hurt. It was just a miserable time. I wasn't very happy. The upside to that is my little princess Viviana had just turned 1 year old, and I have been asking for years for two things. God, give me a granddaughter. I have three boys. I need a little girl. There's too much testosterone in my family. And I finally have this perfect little angel who has the best personality ever. And it's such an amazing feeling. The other side of that is this was my son's very first child. He and his wife have been together forever since college, and this was their first child. So that was super thrilling to watch her turn 1 year old last year. That was the joy in a very stressful period. During that time, the company that I work for had been doing a succession of layoffs, what they refer to as a reduction in force, and it seemed like every couple of months, a group of people were cut from their positions. Their positions were eliminated. So in addition to the regular stress that I had, there's the stress of, will it hit my department? Will I be next? And that not really a way to live. You know, you go to work every day with this pit in your stomach. I was single. I still am single for those who care. But it hits you extra hard because you're the sole breadwinner. You know, the mortgage and your whole lifestyle, there's no other contributors. It's just you. So there was a lot of stress. There was a lot of anxiety. And even though you try not to focus on it, you deal with it every day because that's the buzz every single day. There wasn't a day that went by that someone didn't stop past my desk and, have you heard any news? Have you heard any updates? Or, you know, given what the rumor mill was saying to them. So that's how it ended, and that's actually how 2015 began. With the bringing in of the new year, the reduction in force at work seemed to speed up. Now, instead of every month or so, it's like it was every few weeks. The scary thing for me was that when I look around, all the cubicles in the area where I was were vacant. You know, people were speckled here and there. And then it seemed like the entire section and that whole area of our floor was a ghost land. It was vacant. It got so depressing. I started working from home. I mean, it was just crazy. And then a couple of days a week, I would go into the office for a few days, or I would spend half a day in the office and half a day at home. And then one of the directors, who his office faced mine, so I sat right outside of his office, and, you know, we were talking, and he said, you know, things are getting really scary, I'm nervous. So to hear him say he was nervous, oh, well, that just threw my stress factor into overdrive. And in March, he was let go. And then in April, I was let go. So after 16 years, I no longer had a job. Now, most people, this would have just freaked them out. For me, knowing who I am, this would just freak me the hell out, right? But when I walked out of there for the last time, it was probably the calmest I had been all year. It was the calmest I had been in a long time, because I didn't see it as the end. I saw it as the beginning. So here's the crazy thing about that, right? Lose my job, and a very high-paying job. It was a six-figure job. Lose my job. I have no sources of income to deal with. I have a mortgage. You know, I have expenses like everybody else. What do you do next? And I'm not freaked out. I'm actually calm. I'm actually looking forward to this new phase of life. And everybody I know is saying, I think she's in shock. I think there's something wrong. I think she's having a breakdown because she's not upset. They could not believe that I was not only calm, I was happy, I was excited. I believed in my heart, I'm going to be okay. And people saw a problem with that, and that weirded me out, because I'm like, what is wrong with being okay with uncertainty? So when I sat back and thought about it, I realized, had someone else reacted the way that I reacted in that same position, I would have felt the same way my friends did, that this is the beginning of a nervous breakdown. Because we're so conditioned to a certain set of standards. We're so conditioned to knowing what the next step is. You know, my whole day in corporate America was filled. Every second was filled. I'm multitasking. I took multitasking to a whole new level. I think that's the reason why I'm a little OCD and ADHD at the same time, because I was always doing 3, 4, 5 things simultaneously. And every second of my day has something going on. If I'm not on a conference call, I'm on a web chat, I'm on IM, you know, I have a meeting to get to, I have 2 cell phones that I'm carrying around, constant contact with other people all of the time, constantly talking to people, to the point when I got off work, I really didn't like talking on the phone. And a lot of people didn't understand that. I don't want to talk on the phone. I don't want to be in front of a computer. I do this all day. I need a break. So to go from that to the point where I don't have a meeting to get to, I don't have a conference call to prepare for, I don't have a report that needs to be done ASAP, I don't have appraisals to write, what the hell do you do with your time? What do people do when they're not working? And that is what I was kind of looking forward to finding out. I've worked since I was 18 years old. I've never been unemployed, ever. I've constantly worked. I've constantly had jobs. So this was totally new atmosphere for me, completely new climate. I was freaking lost. But you don't, when life throws you a curveball, you don't dodge. You catch it and you throw it back. This is what this experience taught me. So when this happened, I immediately went into planning mode. Now, when I was in corporate America, I was a senior analyst. The title itself tells you everything that I do. I analyze things. You give me a problem, I give you a solution. So I went into analyst mode with this new life change. Okay, problem, you don't have a job, therefore you have no income. What's going to be the solution? Well, the solution for me was, one, what resources do I have? Two, I made some serious investments. I took a dive into the real estate market. I took a few classes. I started a business. I got my LLC. And I'm still working, you know, working on some other projects and moving forward. Having worked on my life, having had a steady income, having had a very good income, I had no clue about the current job market. I had no idea. I figured with my background, you know, my wealth of knowledge and experience and so forth, getting a job, another job, not a problem. Well, it is a problem. There I am, 8 months later, still no job, actively looking for work, but it's weird to hear people say you're overqualified. You know, that, I don't get that, probably never will, but that only solidifies the fact that you have to have multiple streams of income. That's one thing that I've learned over the past 8 months. The other thing I've learned is that you have to be self-sufficient. I don't care if you work for the federal government. I don't care if you work for a Fortune 100 company. Things change. Times change. Situations change. You have to be self-sufficient. You have to be flexible. You have to be pretty much ready for epic work, anything. So you got to roll with the punches. You have to know what's going on and how do I survive. Worst case scenario, am I prepared and how will I deal with it? You have to understand who you are. You have to understand the society that we're in today. And you have to know your options. And here's the biggest thing that I learned. You can't sit around and say, what are my options? Dolls, you got to create your own options. And that's not as hard as it sounds. Don't talk yourself out of what it is that you can do. Don't talk yourself out of, you know, I don't have any skills, I don't have any talent. The truth is, you do have skills, you do have talents, you just haven't tapped into them. You are your biggest critic, therefore you're your own worst enemy, because you tell yourself what you cannot do. You come up with an idea, and then you tell yourself how many different ways this idea will fail. One newsflash for you. Failure is the biggest motivator to success. There's no such thing as success without failure. As anyone who has succeeded many times before, Oprah has been told what she could not do, what she will not do, what she'll never become, what she'll never be. But look where she is now, because she did not believe the critics. She didn't fall for the hype, and she didn't wait for someone else to tell her the road to her destiny. She got on the road and she just drove. Tyler Perry was once homeless and living in his car. And the list goes on and on of people who have failed. Steve Jobs was fired from the company that he created. Don't be afraid of success. But more importantly, don't be afraid of failure. Failure is your greatest motivator to success. Failure is actually your greatest life lesson because it tells you what doesn't work. That helps point you to the path of what does. So, started my own business, check. Got my LLC, check. Made some investments, check. We're moving right along. Am I financially stable? No. But I'm still here, and I'm still fighting. And that's what you have to do. I think my biggest success in 2015 is I got to know who I am. I got to really know me. Even though I wasn't devastated by the loss of my job, it forced me to spend time with me and figuring myself out. So, if my day prior to all of this was not planned out to the second, I was lost. So trust me when I say I was lost, right? Had no idea what to do with myself once you get up in the morning, what do I do next? What am I supposed to do? I have all this free time. Well, then you think about all the things that you wanted to do that you never had time to before because you were always working. So one of the things that I did to force myself to step out there and learn how to relax and enjoy, I took a solo trip to Las Vegas. Yes, I went to Vegas alone. Had never been to Vegas before, and I'll tell you what. When I got on that plane, I really wanted to jump. I wanted to get off. I wanted to go back home because what the hell? I'm going to Vegas by myself. I don't know anybody. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm going to do. Who does that? But when I got there and I start walking around and I start checking things out, and I'm a people person, so I start talking to people, I had a blast. That was the best 4 days I've ever spent. I had a blast. And most importantly, I had fun being with me. So it was great. And it was a lesson, and I thought about it on the flight back. You have to stop worrying about all these plans. My whole entire life, we plan and plan to do this and plan to do that and plan to do that. Do you know how many plans you make that you never actually fall through on? You know, how many plans have you? I plan to do this, and I plan to do this, and I plan to do that, and that's as far as you get. Thinking of the plan. There's no follow through. There's no actually doing what you plan to do. Then 10 years later, you look back and like, what happened to all my plans? The most expensive real estate in any city, in any country, would be the cemetery. Because under that soil, you have so much knowledge, talent, dreams that were never realized. All of those people, they all had a plan, but few of them acted on it. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. How many times have we all heard this? Never, ever, ever put off for tomorrow what we can do today. Live your life. Live in the moment. Don't let your tomorrows diminish your today. So, you know, 2015, that was a roller coaster, but it was one I could say, what a ride. You know, it had its highs, it had its lows. There were deaths of people that I was very close to and extremely fond of. But at the end of 2015, I had the birth of my second granddaughter, little Miss Karina, who is absolutely perfect. So of all of the things that happened this past year and all the different roller coasters of emotions, for me, it still ends up on a positive, and it still shows me the unlimited possibilities. We really can do anything, you know. It's what are you going to put your mind to doing? So it's normally this time of year that people make their resolutions for the next year. You know, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, I'm going to climb Mount Everest. And typically we forget about those resolutions, say, around January 15th or 16th. You know, they're all shot to hell. And then by June, you're kicking yourself because you can't follow through on the things that you said you wanted to do. Following through, but the progress is not what you really anticipated that the progress would be. So we had all these challenges last year, right? We had the ice bucket challenge and all these other different challenges, dance-offs and things like that. I'm going to give you a new challenge for the upcoming year, for 2016, no resolutions. Nope, no resolutions. What I wish for each and every one of you for 2016 is resolve to be happy. Resolve to live in a moment. Resolve to live today like it's the last 24 hours of your life, because realistically, we never know when it really is. Resolve to get to know you. Live by your rules. Be the best person that you want to be, the best person that you were created to be, and not an imitation or a reproduction of someone else. Learn how to like you so that you can learn how to love you. And with that, well, the rest comes easy. See, in 2015, I can't say that 2015 was a bad year. I think 2015 was my best year so far, because I met and fell in love with me. And she's a really, really cool chick. 2016, I'm looking forward to getting to know her a whole lot better. And I'm going to put her to the test. I want to see what she can really do. So as I close out my show for tonight, because we're going to keep the shows kind of brief until we can't contain everything we want to talk about. But I close my show with the wish that I have for each and every one of you. My wish for you is may 2016 be your best year ever. May you meet, get to know, and fall in love with yourself. And may your finances be like my weight. Effortless to gain and hard as hell to lose. Dolls, it's been real. I love you. Party like there's no tomorrow. Until 2016, this is Kat. Peace out.